Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Not really sure what happened to the clip thing, but hopefully you all can hear me okay, and it's good to see you all this morning. I want to give you a little bit of a story to kind of get us started this morning on our lesson, but you can look at Psalm, the 118th chapter, verse 24. That'll be the first verse that we turn to. We won't spend a lot of time there, but we'll definitely be important to ordering our steps for the lesson this morning. I traveled to Florida this past week, and I was there for work for a few days. Pretty ordinary trip for me. Something that I've kind of come to do on a regular basis. Go lead some meetings, talk to some folks, get on a plane, come home. This plane ride home was a little different, though, and it struck me and it stuck with me, and I want to share it with you all this morning. I was boarding the flight coming from Orlando to Charlotte, and walking through the aisle, and I see a man that looked to be pretty close in age to me, but he lived a much different life, you could tell. He was pretty well covered from head to toe in tattoos, saying all kinds of different things. And as I started to walk through, I totally lost track of where I was at in the aisles. And I looked at him and I thought of him and I passed him. And I looked back down and I realized I'm back. I go right back to the aisle he's sitting. And I grab my seat behind him. We start the trip and he's nervous. He's off. There's something going on with him. Didn't look like he'd ever flown in a plane. He was struggling. We got in the air, he was really struggling. And, you know, I hadn't actually ever sat by somebody when they had to actually use the bag until this trip. Well, I didn't talk to him much during the you know, I kept to myself thinking about what I have to do. I generally keep to myself for the most part, thinking through what I've got to do and my plans and things that are going on with work, with family, with whatever. So we land. And as we land, this man, you know, he's talking. And he's talking about things that were common to me but new to him. He's the same age I am. For instance, he'd never had a cell phone before. And he saw my cell phone. He said he hopes that he gets one of those. And he asked me if that's something that they call the Apple phone. I said, it is, and I had ear pods. And he said, what are those? I've never seen those before. What are those? And I said, well, they connect to my phone. He said, they connect to your Apple phone. Yeah, he said, I got to get me one of those. And the man in the row next to us, just in the other side of the aisle, he joins in the conversation, and he says, yeah, it seems like everybody is on their phones. And this man that I sat by, he says, yes, I've been in prison for the last 25 years. I just got out. The world isn't the same. For him, that day was anything but ordinary. He'd never been on a plane. He'd never seen a phone. He'd never been on a phone. He never seen the common hustle and bustle that we were going through. And he was completely, 100% disturbed by everything that was going on around him. He said, everybody's in their phones. Everybody's looking down. He goes, I'm trying to find a way to eat. I can't even eat. I can't use my cash. Nobody takes it. It's not any good. They want a credit card. I don't have a credit card. And he starts to go through the misery of his day, what he's trying to get through. And the guy next to him said, look, let me just tell you one piece of advice. Because this man was trying to figure out how to get to his next flight, didn't know how to do it. He's trying to figure out how, once he got to Knoxville, how to get to his home, didn't know how to do it. Didn't understand how to get to a taxi because he didn't have a phone. Didn't know where to get to a phone because they don't have pay phones anymore. It was all, you can imagine, what it'd be like to just be dropped on the planet after 25 years of being completely incarcerated somewhere else. And now they ship you on a plane and good luck, buddy. That was this man's day. That was his day. So I spent a little time with him. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to make sure he gets to his next spot. The man next to him, I back up. He says to him, look, you're thinking about all the stuff that you got to get through just to get to where you're going. All you need to worry about is the next step. Just walk off the plane. And then get to the end of your gate. And then look for a screen. And then go where the screen tells you to go. And then get on the next plane. And then get off. And then worry about a taxi. But don't worry about anything except for the next step. I thought, wow, that's some really good advice. So we got off. I follow him off the plane. You know, for me, I just step onto the jet bridge. He almost got on all four knees. Two hands and two knees. On all fours. He almost crawled under the jet bridge. He was looking. There was an air gap right here that you normally, you know, you see the air gap. He'd never been. It completely psyched him out. He almost got down on all hands and knees to just get onto the jet bridge. He did it. He looked back, and you've never seen a bigger smile. So happy. He goes, I did it. One step at a time. We get him off the jet bridge. I take him over to the screen. I show him where Knoxville's at. Show him how to get to the gate. Point him in the direction. Make sure he got to his gate. And then I'm on my way. I'll likely never see the man again. Psalm 118th chapter, verse 24 says, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. There is no product known to man that contains more power or promise than the dawn of a new day. Every day that sun rises, it is extraordinary. What might seem ordinary, because we've done it 15,000 times if you're age 40, is nothing but that. A day is packed full of opportunity, and within the day will be won or lost, for good or for evil. Lives will be made, lives will be changed, lives will be destroyed, all within the confines of a day. In Genesis, the first chapter, we go back to the history, the creation of days. There was a time in which darkness prevailed upon the earth, and all was formless and void until God created the oldest known miracle to us, which is, let there be light. There will never be the creation of a new day. That happened one time. But within the confines of a day, life can be created, life can be taken, and life can be permanently altered or changed. And all of us have the power to decide what kind of a day today will be. We're not promised that God will ever come back and create new days. He spoke it into existence. We've enjoyed 1.5 million days to the birth of Christ. And then about another 500,000, 2 million days, approximately, of this earth, based on biblical timelines. The sun has rose and the sun has set. But what God does promise us in Lamentations, the third chapter, verses 22 and 23, it says, it is of Jehovah's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. 2 million days, the sun has came up. His compassions, they never fail. He's faithful. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What we are promised is a fresh start. A lot of times we say, it's a new day. Well, it is. It's a new 24 hours. But the day has been created. The process by the day has been created. That's important to us. Because it's not the dawn of a new day, as I'm going to speak of in a moment. It is a fresh start in which promises are renewed. Loving kindness is renewed. Mercy is renewed. faith is renewed, opportunity is renewed, and all the things that happened before are gone, and what matters is the moment that we are in. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says that we should take no thought for tomorrow. Why? Because live in today. The troubles are enough for the day you're in. The opportunity is enough. The work is enough. The day is enough. Don't worry about the past. Don't think about the past. Don't look at the past. Don't worry about the future. Live for today. That is what God has promised you. And when that sun rises, he gives us all a fresh start. No matter what happened yesterday, we can make today great. That man was in prison yesterday. He's on a plane, learning how to have a new life today. This last 25 years, they happened, but they matter little. What matters much is the day we're in. So what does it look like to win the day? I'll tell you this. If you want to win the day, you do it by taking one step at a time. But you do it by taking one godly step at a time. And if you put one godly foot in front of another godly foot, and you do that again and again and again, throughout the course of the day, then you'll find yourself walking on a godly path for that day. And there's nothing else that matters but that you've chosen to do that today. And if you continue to choose to do that with each rising of the sun, you will have a godly life. And that's what we're all aiming and striving for. So let me give you five things really quickly. It's not the whole of our lesson, but really quickly, let me give you five things that we must do according to the Bible if we want to win the day and take godly steps. First thing you do is pretty obvious. You open your eyes. That may not seem like a big deal, but do you know that most Americans, 60%, push the snooze button multiple times before they get up? They fail to want to open their eyes. It's a new day. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I want to stay right here. I'm happy. Over the course of a life, that amounts to 3.5 months on average that Americans spend pushing the snooze button. It's a waste of time. First thing we do if we want to win is we open our eyes. Proverbs the 20th chapter verse 13 says, "Do not love sleep or you'll become poor. Open your eyes and you'll be satisfied with food." Go to work. Be productive. I spend a lot of time telling my kids, be productive. Be productive. Go to work. Accomplish something. Have purpose. Wake up with purpose and intention. My mom used to always say, rise and shine. Well, that comes from Isaiah, the 60th chapter, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. If you have that mindset when you open your eyes, it's time to rise. The glory of God has risen upon me, is with me today. I promise you, when you get out of bed, you'll have a renewed energy. And you will have a renewed purpose and intention. The second thing, no secret, pray. Psalm the 5th chapter, verse 3, it says, "In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice." Does he hear yours? Does he hear mine? Does he hear our voice as Christians? "You will hear my voice in the morning. I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch." Eagerly watch, knowing that the Lord is present in my life. We were talking this morning about Cornelius, who prayed fervently and continually. One of the men in the Bible that it says prayed continually. Jesus said, pray without ceasing. Well, that seems to be exactly what Cornelius did. He got God's attention. You want to get God's attention, talk to him. Talk to him continually. Order your steps. Rise, shine, let the glory of God come into your life, and pray. Mark, the first chapter, verse 35 says, "And early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and prayed for a time." the sun rose while Jesus was in prayer. That's how he started his day. Sing, rejoice, be rejuvenated. It's the third step that you want to take. Psalm the 59th chapter, verse 16. But as for me, I will sing of your strength. Yes, I will joyfully sing of your faithfulness in the morning. For you have been my refuge and a place of refuge on the day of my distress. Rejoice and be glad, right? This is the day the Lord hath made. There's so much to be thankful for. Every day, you have something to be thankful. You have something to sing about. My daughter likes to sing in the shower. I'm not saying you have to sing out loud, but you have a joyous spirit and presence. You have thankfulness. You have a reason to sing. All of you do. All of us do. Fourth, John the 8th, chapter verse 2, look to the word of God. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple area, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down, and he began teaching them. Jesus knew how important, how critical it is to start the day with God. In the morning, he's teaching. I imagine at noon, he's teaching. At the end of the day, he's teaching. But if you want to have a good day, if you want to have a productive day, put the word of God in your mind. Wake up, the right attitude, pray, rejoice, study. And then Joshua, the 6th chapter, verse 15. God has given us all something to accomplish. Then on the 7th day, they got up early at the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city in the same way 7 times. Only on that day did they march around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests blew their trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." And the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. God has given us all something to conquer. It may not be biblical in regards to something that is so extraordinary as blowing trumpets and marching around cities and seeing walls come down, but the walls of our life will disappear and will be conquered whenever we trust in the Lord and we go out to accomplish what it is that's in front of us, to conquer what it is in front of us. One step in front of the other. Let God order it that way. And we will find ourselves more than conquerors. But that's all just getting off to a fresh start. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verses 16 through 19, tells us about something new, something different. Put your mind here with me. 16th verse says, "This is what the Lord says. He who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters." Let me just stop there. What are we talking about? He who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Well, didn't he do that before? The crossing of the Red Sea. He made a way through the sea, a path through the waters. "Who brings out chariot and horse, the army of the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been extinguished and have gone out like a wick." He's talking about when Egypt was conquered at the hands of Israel. Whenever they were buried, horse and chariot and the mighty man, the Pharaoh, the king of all, collapsed under the waters of the Red Sea. A path was given to his children of Israel. And the Egyptians, they still remain there to this day, trapped. Entombed. God's reminding us of that great day. And he says, they will rise no more. There is nothing that can resurrect those dead Egyptians. Okay, now, look at verse 18. He says, "Do not call to mind the former things or consider things of the past. Behold, I am going to do something new. Now it will spring up. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I don't even want you to look at what I've done in the past. I'm going to do something greater, something new. I'm going to create waters in the desert, a path through wilderness. He's speaking of the dawn of a new day. Not been done in this kind of a way since the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, when God created and said, "Let there be light," he's now saying, "Pay attention. I'm going to do something new again. You haven't seen this since the days of old." Look at Luke, the first chapter, verse 78 and 79. It's the end of a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. And there it says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The sunrise from on high, not the sunrise that we look to in the morning when we step outside and we look to the east. We're talking about the dawning of a new day. And we're talking about the conquering of a new darkness, a different darkness. You see, when God spoke and light burst onto the scene, darkness faded from beyond its reach. Darkness was completely overcome by light. But God says, darkness still exists. And we know from 1 John, first chapter, verses 5 and following, sin is darkness. And here, there's going to be a sunrise from on high, and it's going to shine on that darkness. And when it burst onto the scene of those who sit in it, who live within it, and it's welcomed into their lives, and it burst within them, all of their darkness is gone. And that will put them walking in the light as he is in the light. Mark the 16th chapter, first verse. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might come to anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away this stone for us from the entrance of this tomb?" Looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. They said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified, and here you go. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him." You have the sunrise that we all come to know, that we all come to operate by, that these women were operating by. And the very first thing on their mind in the morning when they woke up, ordering their steps after God, was going to the tomb. But on that day, there was the creation of a new dawn, of a new age, of a new light. And the S-O-N rose. It was a different kind of a sunrise, unlike any that had been ever experienced since the days of creation, when God said, "Let there be light." Sin, death, darkness, all conquered, vanquished on that day, with that sunrise, with an empty tomb and a risen Savior. Jesus has said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who comes into the world. John, the third chapter, verses 16 through 21. Very popular set of verses. Don't stop at 16, you move on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he who believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We know this. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed, made open, made known. That's what the light does, is it reveals what was once hidden from us. And it shows what manner of men we truly are. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Now, 1 Peter, the third chapter, verse 21. We have a dawn of a new day, which is really the dawn of a new man. 1 Peter, the third chapter, in the two parts, if you look at it, it says baptism doth also now save us. It says not putting away the filth of flesh, but the answer of good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You want to order your steps. It has to be through and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the power and the only power to eradicate darkness and to save man. And it's through the resurrection. And how do we get the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, we rise with him to walk in newness of life. We know that from Romans chapter 6. Because we are saved by baptism through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All those that say that baptism is important, then you're saying the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not important. Your resurrection, your rising from the dead, your coming out of the grave, you want to stay just like the Egyptians buried under the sea. I don't want to be like them. I want my sins to be like them. And I want to rise up to walk in newness of life with Christ as my Lord and Savior, walking and living and loving in his resurrection, which becomes my resurrection. And real to me, because I've followed my footsteps and ordered them exactly as his into the tomb and risen from it, out of darkness and into light. And if only someone on this day will take this lesson and apply it, it will not just be an ordinary day. It will be extraordinary for all of us. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows after me will have no darkness, but will have the light of life. We must follow him all the way to his resurrection, and then from there to his ascension. If heaven's going to be our home, then we take one step at a time, following our Lord and our Savior on the path of righteousness. The lesson is yours for this morning. I do hope that this calls to attention some things today. If you have any opportunities to speak to anyone maybe your family, your friends, your loved ones, if they're interested in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, well, that's a good opportunity. It's a good opportunity for us to share the good news about Jesus and how one can come in contact with that resurrection. Romans chapter 6. To be born again. To raise from that tomb. To walk in newness of life. That's the power Jesus grants us. He grants us it right now. So if there is anyone here that has not been saved, who wants to meet Jesus, we can do that for you today. You hear, you've heard the word, you believe, you repent, you confess, you be baptized, and then you rise to walk in newness of life. But if there's anyone here who's looking for a fresh start, maybe you've been a Christian, you've experienced the new creation, but the days have grown long, the road has grown weary, the task has grown tall, and you just need a little bit of help, a little bit of strength, a little bit of guidance, a little bit of support, a little bit of love, a little bit of encouragement. Well, that's what brothers and sisters are for. And you couldn't have came to a better place than here for that. So why don't you come and make your request known while we stand and sing the song that Isaac selected.